SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Wednesday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, stevebick.com. And if I get one more email from the Breeders' Cup shoving last year's apparel my throat. Am I right? How many of these have you? It's unbelievable. This is like six a day. I never see anything like it. I don't want it already. Stop. By now, I don't know. Maybe they introduced the logo for next year. Maybe they're. I don't even open them. But it's like an onslaught. It's on the phone, and then it's on my laptop. Breeders' Cup final sale, 80%. Holy cow! All right. Well, you know what time of year it is here when it's starting to get, probably an appropriate time for me to trot out the reaching for the wire line. Yeah, we get this close to the end of the year, and I certainly looking forward to the holiday period, Christmas, New Year's, and a week and change off. Honestly, you begin to get a little punchy, but we still have a good 6 hours of conversation and plenty to keep us busy, including what the conversation I'm looking forward to with Andy at the top of hour two, and that aqueduct sequence. Went through it more carefully last night. It is really good. Really good. And I'm anxious for Andy's input because it's approachable. And if it holds somewhat to form, if, you know, the parameter of, you know, potential horses, including the upsetters, if you look to that and expect that, you know, there's not going to be, you know, more than maybe one surprising upset, it feels like moderate budget could be able to, you know, to work a ticket that will put you in play. And as we discussed, if you were listening, you know, from the outset this morning, or if you heard it yesterday live, the visit with John Toscano may come in very handy. Not just because it was fun to congratulate him on Forgotten Heroes' win, but his presence in this opener and in the nightcap. He's got a real, I mean, there's a real chance here that Toscano takes both of those ends on this pick six. That Latin Love Bug, you know, right off the maiden win in the nightcap, and it seems very competitive to me, and it feels like he's got the likeliest winner in Missile Bomb and the likeliest upsetter off the claim with Fox Red. So we'll hear from Andy, and I also am going to invite Andy to riff on a topic that he has discussed in the past, and that is understanding that not every racetrack can be a pastoral masterpiece of aesthetic and genteel charm. The annual assault on Aqueduct as a venue is so ridiculous to me that and I guarantee that 2/3, maybe more, that have something ridiculous and negative to say have never actually been or haven't been in years to Aqueduct. It's just bizarre. There are countryside settings for racetracks. There's suburban settings for racetracks. And there's urban settings for racetracks. You know, not every racetrack can be set in, you know, some, you know, Shangri-La or some, what was the magical city that appears, Brigadoon? It's in a city. It's right in the middle of a city, Aqueduct. It's a urban setting. It's not going to have the, you know, the backyard and the, you know, and the picnic. That's not what it ever was, and never going to be. And the actual interior and the, you know, the people that you're visiting with and placing wagers with, they're people from the city. They're not. It's not families that are going to be picnicking in the backyard. It's hardcore players that took the subway. It's different, and it's got its own singular appeal for that reason, and its own valuable place among Belmont and Saratoga. You know, we're all a little finding it difficult to, you know, grapple with having to be at one venue for extended periods because everybody gets tired and you get bored, frankly. You know, it's one of the things that that works against Philly Park, against parks. I mean, that it's a monotonous, a little bit of a monotonous, you know, there aren't even really seasons per se. They are taking the summer break, but, you know, the same thing, you know, Gulfstream may have, you know, made whatever maneuver to be, you know, racing 10 months, but, it's not that interesting to tune in, for, you know, nonstop. There's an appeal to having a rotation, and from going from, you know, Belmont to Aqueduct, back to Belmont to Saratoga. I mean, it changes things up. It's, you know, that's one of the things that makes, you know, being able to come to Saratoga really fun. I do not understand the eagerness, the rush, I guarantee for those that just spew venom about Aqueduct, you haven't been. You just haven't been, because it's really not that different. If you were transported immediately right into the building, not knowing, you know, where you came, where you are, you'd think, oh, I'm at a racetrack, and it's not different. It's really not all that different from any other. It's I find some of the commentary just idiotic. And you know, is every track supposed to, you know, look the same? And what would be fun about that? like Tom Hanks says, it's a robot that turns into a building. What's fun about that? Yeah, exactly. Oh, and what's funny that I think of that, considering the Penny Marshall, the passing of Penny Marshall. She was a big talent. Big talent. Hearts go out, as they say. Marcus Hirsch is going to join us tomorrow because we've got to do the fairgrounds, and we're going to be gone Friday. So we'll do the fairgrounds Saturday card on Thursday. That'll be part of the weekend preview. And the fairgrounds card is mind-boggling. I mean, it's 37 pages printed. 37 pages. Incredible. And I imagine you took some notes off of the visit from Steve Asmussen. Boy, did he seem excited about the Mandy Pope Colt. Gun it. Yeah. But there's three races, maiden races for boys Saturday at Fairgrounds. One for the girls. The girls' race is the second, going six. And then the boys, there's a six, there's a and a pair of mile and change. Mile and 16th. They split the 5th and the 12th. So it is between the stakes and the maidens, just out of this world. Really good. I'm anxious for Marcus's, and I'm sure Marcus will have his plays, his selections in to the paper probably today. There's no morning lines yet, but you're gonna have a lot of fun, I think, when you get a chance to dive in. Also today, Pete Fornatel is going to join us first, and Pete and I promised, I threatened, I made the mistake last week of telling Pete we can do one each at least, Christmas additional Christmas music selection. And, of course, once we start in that vein, one turns into two, turns into three. I've got two. I've got two new ones. One's about maybe 10 years old, and one is probably 90 years old, 95 years old, from a incredibly influential blues artist from the 20s and 30s that you probably have not heard of, who died really young and tragically. So, and then Pete came up with, yeah, Pete came up, there's never any telling what Pete's going to come up with. I mean, I know what it is, but I'll give him free reign. Later today, looking forward to a visit from Dave Siegel. And you most notably hear from Dave, with me anyway, on Stats Racelens, a few of the webinars, the handicapping sessions. And Dave is piloting that GPS program that came up with Mike Welsh the other day on Friday. Mike was talking about it. That is basically the chip, the microchip, Trackus style timing system to keep track of morning workouts. So Dave is going to visit and flesh out the concept, give everybody the status report of where they stand and what it's going to take to implement it. And Jason Wilson from the Jockey Club is going to sit in, and we'll get a chance to talk to Jason about, I hope he realizes I'm going to ask him a couple of questions that go outside that realm of the GPS program. And I want to ask about the follow-up from the Jockey Club Roundtable about the concept of the Jockey Club working with racetracks and helping them with some bridge financing or grants or so forth to improve their product and their offering. So Jason Wilson from the Jockey Club and Dave Seal from Trackmaster, Andy, Pete, Seth Merrill later. And I'm sure there'll be some other wacky hijinks. Wednesday at the races as we hurtle toward the end of the year. Pete Fornatel joins me next. We'll do a little Christmas stuff, a little Christmas music, little contest stuff, little year-end discussion. Back after this, Sirius XM at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Grand to win on the 9 at Gulf Street. Yeah, that's what I said. 12 grand. 12,000 smackaroos. 12,000...
Mikey! Hang up the phone! You crazy? You can't bet that much.
Quiet, Joey. I'm practicing.
Practicing? Practicing for what? Divorce?
No, I'm practicing my Pegasus Big Bet with my friends at ExpressBet.
Ooh, the contest is back?
And better than ever. All you gotta do is register for free at ExpressBet.com. Then you'll earn entries for every bet you make until January 14th. The more you play, the more chances you have to win.
And you win a $12,000 bet on the Pegasus?
And a VIP trip to Gulfstream with airfare, hotel, tickets, it's all included. Now, if you'll excuse me, I got some more practicing to do.
Yeah.
So, ExpressBet, you still there? Good. Like I was saying,
ExpressBet is the official online wagering partner of the Pegasus World Cup. Visit ExpressBet.com to bet today. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's one for Pete. Even before we get started, one that I'm sure Pete loves, the Ramones. Merry Christmas. I don't want to fight tonight. Pete, good morning.
Good morning to you. And I remember I hadn't heard it in so long that I'd forgotten, not the song, which of course is a perennial, but the spoken intro from the video.
Yes.
That you played when we did the show last year. So I always think of that now and those great Outer Borough accents we got to hear in that.
Well, and those that were wondering, last year's taped Christmas special that Pete and I did, 3 hours, will play Christmas Eve and then play again Christmas morning, the 6 to 9 replay. So you can hear it in its entirety. And we are going to slip in a couple of new cuts that we've come across since last year. But we've got our obligations, Pete. We've got to spend a good 10 minutes at least wrapping up the year. And that includes some recapping from the past week on the contest scene and looking forward to Saturday, the super qualifier at Fairgrounds. I'll probably get to Gary Palmisano Jr. and have him update everybody, but they're expecting at least 10 seats to go.
That's great.
One for every 15, and they've got a card that players are going to just salivate over.
Oh, that's great. That's great to hear. Contest players always appreciate when they have the opportunity to contest the best and most interesting races. And no surprise, not only the timing of that event with people who are, getting, it's showtime if you want to either punch that first ticket or get a second one for the NHC, but also the location with that, the New Orleans and Louisiana in general, just being an area that it seems to breed contest players, whether we're talking about the McGoeys or the Baychucks or some young guns down there too, like my friend Grant Lagrange, who I hope will be participating. He's worked in racing down there, has had some success online, but is about, I think he's about 21, 22 now, and is maybe he's 23. He's ready to make that trip out to Vegas. So I'm hoping to see his, assuming he's eligible. He might have, maybe his past work at the Fairgrounds, maybe he can't play, but I'd love to see that name on there as well as some of the more established players. But it'll be a fun contest to follow along and see who gets to join us, Steve, out in Las Vegas in what's really just down to a handful of weeks at this point.
Yeah, it's really true. And the West Coast players, these three super qualifiers, the first one came in New York, and now Middle America gets it at Fairgrounds. And then 2 weeks from Saturday, the second Saturday of the season at Santa Anita on January 5th, and probably another 10 plus. And we'll check in with Tom Quigley for that opening. Opening week of the 2019 broadcast season. So there's still opportunity, and they'll be on all formats at horse tourneys and at horseplayers.com and all over the place. And we'll keep you advised as the weeks get short. And then, of course, there's the play-in that, I love the hopefuls that come to Vegas, Pete, without a seat in hand. And they try to get the last chance shot right before things get started.
It's a great opportunity, actually. That's one of the best situations all year, because it's assuming they're doing it as in years past, the Treasure Island add money to that. So it's a great way for players. And I believe if you're double qualified, you can apply it to next year. So I think the trick with it is a lot of players, it should be even more popular than it is. I think the only thing holding it back is that there are plenty of players, and I have some sympathy for this, who are so deep in the form, sort of old school paper handicapper types. Old school, they're into the form to the point where it's just very hard to devote the mental energy on those days. But if you're a player who uses a lot of computer stuff, if you're somebody who really has all their notes and things in place where you can look at a race quickly and come up with a good opinion, you don't have to necessarily grind on everything, then it's something you should really consider doing. And I'd say my attitude about it would be, you know, you don't want to get so intense that it's going to distract from your mental energy that you need for the big marathon of the event itself. But if you can just go there and view it more as, you know what, I'm going to pick some horses, almost view it for the first three quarters of the contest as an all-in, where you just you're just sort of put your picks in and you're hanging out with your friends and you're watching races and doing what you do, and then for that last hour, if you need to get intense about it, do it, because there is a give and take, but the financial opportunity is terrific in that last chance, and I definitely it's a hard thing to give up, and if you do it right, you might just be able to extend your fun and get your money in good. Now, those are two things. When I can combine them, I try to do every time I can.
Well, some other action that you caught up through the past.
Yeah,
week.
We had big stuff going on the DRF tournament site, tournaments.drf.com, last weekend. We had two players win their $12,000 bankrolls for the upcoming Pegasus World Cup betting championship. They were Keith Johnston and Peter Rogers. And it was pretty interesting in a contest with so many entries, not, you know, a solid amount of entries for such a big, for a 960 online. They ended up with like 37. It was, usually you'll see the biggest prices in the sequence are the top two players have or have some combination of. But in this case, they split them up, which I just thought was kind of fun, with the outright top finisher, Keith Johnston, ending up with the early horses that returned 20-plus win place. And then Peter Rogers sort of clawing back in, being in a tough spot with two races to go. But he went runner-runner in the end, nabbing Dream Pauline and also getting the points from Glorious Empire. So they'll both be headed to the Pegasus. That's one. It comes up before the NHC, doesn't it? And it's something that has really, in its 1 year, has already established itself as a major, not just because of the money involved, but because of the opportunity. Here's a contest where we know going in that the Stronach Group has pledged to put up at least $435,000 in purse money, and players get to play for bankroll only. So, for example, if either of those players who qualified last weekend decided that they for some reason they hate the card, this or that, they can cash out the $12,000, which is fantastic, just to be able to play bankroll only with the house putting up that prize pool. We're talking about a positive expectation for sure, and it's something that I think a lot of players are going to want to be continuing to look into, whether they go in with other players or decide to compete on their own. And it's also cool because you have online options and you have the opportunity to play from the other Stronach tracks. So they're making it real easy to take advantage of a great opportunity with this Pegasus contest, and players should definitely be checking it out. We'll be running another Pegasus qualifier at the end of the month on DRFT. I think that's going to be on December 30th. So lots of stuff going on DRF tournaments in terms of Horse Player World Series, and also some newly added qualifiers for the Keeneland Grade 1 Gamble, which, you know, don't make me think about April yet. I'm enjoying the holiday season too much, but it is a perennial favorite, and some players plan their year around it, and those players can get started in their qualifying already over at tournaments.drf.com.
Well, and to round out the NHC opportunities, horseplayers.com on Friday, there's a $75 pick and pray. Two seats are going out, and we already mentioned the super qualifier at New Orleans, but horseplayers as well, .com, $500 live tournament. Looks like one seat, and then horse tourneys on Saturday with a 165 pick and pray, two seats, and at the least. And of course, you know, those are at the minimum if the player quantities offer a third, you know, a third seat or even a fourth seat, and these do fill up, you know, as we get closer. And then there's two more of those on Sunday as well. So it looks like 17, at least 19 or 20 seats available Friday, Saturday, Sunday on the NHC front. So lots to keep you busy, and it's a good, you know, I'm telling you, the card on Friday, Saturday at New Orleans is just insane. I can't wait.
The other big story to pay attention to for contest players interested in the NHC is the NHC Tour. I haven't checked in on the leaderboard in a while, but last I saw Paul Sherman, he hates it when I say things like this, but had a close to a stranglehold on the Tour, which would be an amazing achievement. It's sort of Mike Smith-like, already in the Hall of Fame and still accomplishing things. Chance to become the first ever two-time winner of the prestigious NHC Tour. That's a story I'm looking forward to following. Had him on the podcast for an hour this year at some point. I'll try to find a link and send that out to folks as we get to what hopefully is going to be this fun end to this story for him. But we'll be covering that more, hopefully have him back on the show, and, of course, writing about it in pages of Daily Racing Form as well. It's pretty cool stuff, and I'm glad it popped in my head because I do need to follow up with Paul.
Well, and he's Phil Lamb is hot on his tail.
Interesting.
Yeah, Phil Lim is right there.
Great player name I see all the time, who I've met in passing, but never probably given the due that I should have in print. So that's another future article to get busy on. It'll be interesting to see if we can figure out what each of their schedules is in terms of what events they're planning to participate in and what can move the needle at this point. Sometimes there's I'm sure Paul's been doing a lot of math to see how he could possibly be caught and where he needs to maybe still be participating to increase his score at this point.
Well, and we should mention that if you go to the NTRA NHC section, there's also on the tour options, there's the leaderboard of players that haven't gotten a seat yet.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those, you know, harrowing elements. Eric Moomey on that list, and Richard Goodall as well, and a few other notable names that, and it's, you know, just shows you. We talk about this all the time, how tough it is, you know, when guys that and gals that have qualified multiple times, and yet here they are. They've been playing all year, and they, you know, they're still looking. It just gives you an idea how tough it is.
Absolutely. I think in some instances, maybe when there's choices, people will choose other options than the NHC, figuring they'll get it at some point along the line, or that they might be able to backdoor it in through tour points. But the two players you mentioned, they both are big believers in multiple entries at the NHC. So that is surprising to me, and there's probably some kind of interesting story to go along with it there as well. But there's still time, and players with that level of ability who've accomplished what those two have, tour champion and a former overall champion as well. I have a feeling we'll be seeing them there by the time we get to Vegas.
Well, we'll keep close tabs. Pete, before we talk a little additional Christmas cuts, your year-end summary, we can see the end in sight now.
It's been such a weird, not in a bad way, but a weird year for me professionally, where I started it, you know, with really the I don't want to say the sole focus on tournaments, but I was the DRF tournament editor and was writing about tournaments four times a week. And now, as we get to the end of the year, the script has flipped. The podcast used to be something that was never essentially really even paid to do the podcast in my original DRF role. It just sort of, it was something that I enjoyed and grew and was obviously helpful to DRF in marketing terms. And now I'm basically just writing the one tournament piece a week and broadcasting three times a week for them, as well as our weekly appearance. So really getting to do at least four broadcasts a week. And I have to say, I'm loving doing the broadcasting. You know, I think it makes me feel like, given my father, it's something that I was born to do. And as much as I love tournaments and believe that they're a key cornerstone in racing's present and future, it's nice to be able to do a little bit more general racing stuff. And I've really enjoyed the video opportunities I've had, either between World Horse Players Tour and trying to get that going with Jonathan Kinchin, and of course the stuff over in the UK that I've been fortunate to do. I am heading back there, I think I mentioned that before, to cover the Pegasus out of the new West London Sky Studios. So that's going to be kind of cool. So when I think back on the year, I think selfishly, just in terms of transitioning from more of a writer to more of a broadcaster, and it's something that agrees with me, though I definitely want to keep going on the writing side. Who knows? Maybe, just reflecting now off the cuff, it'll be an opportunity to do something, again, writing about racing in longer form. Maybe it's time to start kicking the tires on some new book concepts, because it is a part of myself. I love to be able to express that and capture things in words, but it just seems like in the modern day, as we approach 2019, people seem that much more eager to consume stuff that they can listen to on the go in their busy multitasking lives. And when they do get to sit down and read a book, a lot of people enjoy it. They give positive feedback, but it just seems like more people get to hear what I have to say when we're doing it in broadcast media. So it's probably a good transition for me.
Well, and the popularity, you bring up the on the go, the ability for people to consume it, at their leisure and based on their schedule. That's been, the by appointment revolution, really. I mean,
it really is. And I think people don't quite understand that for us, when we were first hearing, and it certainly wasn't racing radio back then. It was sports radio that maybe once in a blue moon had some racing content on it. I can remember Jody McDonald doing horse racing back on WFAN in the early years of that station. But if you wanted to hear that, it was an appointment. It was not something that you could just catch up with and listen to. The idea of being able to listen to every minute of a radio show you wanted to hear, that just didn't really happen. It was all on the go and on the fly and often in the background. Now it's just amazing, whether it's great storytelling podcasts. I had missed Slow Burn somehow, Steve, until recently, and have been catching up on that. And the storytelling, it's just fabulous. And the ability to have the audio now in this on-demand form, I just think it's elevated what you can do. Well, elevated is wrong, but it has expanded what radio can be in a way where we're getting audio storytelling of a quality that we didn't really have in the first 50 years of the television era. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, no doubt. And you can watch an entire season of shows in one, not in one sitting, obviously, but Tina and I watched season two of Mrs. Maisel in 10 episodes in 8 days. It's pretty funny. It's one of the whole binge aspect, and there's too much, really. I mean, there's a flood of things that deserve our attention, and you can barely get to it all. And speaking of getting to everything, we got about 15, 20 minutes to the top of the hour, and Andy's going to join us, but we
excellent.
Seemingly have to add to our Christmas treasury. And last week I suggested we each introduce one more Christmas tune, and I think we both found two or three each. So I don't know if we're going to have time for for three
potato
each.
Potato chips, Steve. You
exactly.
Can't just the one.
Exactly. I'll let you kick this off.
Excellent, excellent. Well, why don't we start with a band? So I guess if you made me give them a label, they're sort of like a pop Americana group that I really enjoy their material and was tickled to see that the old 97s have a Christmas record this year, and I think we should check out Here It Is Christmas Time from the old 97s on At the Races.
When we are born, we are swaddled and suckled, whispered to, fussed over, tickled and cuddled. When we grow up, things get muddled, and here it is, Christmas time. Will you stop by for a piece of delicious peach pie while I tell you my Yuletide wishes? You can help me do the dishes, 'cause here it is, Christmas time, and we all want someone who will love us and hold us, to curl up alongside when nights are the coldest. We all want someone who will hug us and kiss us. All I want is you for Christmas. All I want is you for Christmas. Let us examine the holiday spirit. Let the small kids sing so we can all hear it. Light up a fire and pull the chair near it, 'cause here it is, Christmas time. We all want someone will love us and hold us, to curl up alongside when nights are the coldest. And we all want someone who will hug us and kiss us. All I want is you for Christmas. All I want is you for Christmas. And suckled, whispered to, fussed over, tickled and cuddled. When we grow up, things get muddled, and here it is, Christmas time. We all want someone who will love us and hold us, to curl up alongside when nights are the coldest. And kiss us. All I want is you for Christmas. All I want is you for Christmas. All I want is you for Christmas.
That's nice. They're from Dallas, old 97s.
Indeed, indeed, and have toured around over the years. Never seen them live, but some of those old records, Fight Songs, Satellite Rides, in particular, still find their way onto to the iPod. I don't own any of their stuff on vinyl. That's probably an oversight, actually. Holiday gift idea for myself, perhaps. But yeah, that was a fun one from 2018. I thought folks should check out. Do you want to go next, or should
yeah, we'll alternate. And if you want to find out more about this group, the old97s.com. They're going to be, they got a couple of dates in around Dallas next week after Christmas. Then they're going to Ponte Vedra, Florida, right after, before New Year's. And they've been around 25 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd heard the name, but I'd never heard. I can't remember hearing anything. I've got an old, very old one, and then something more modern. But one of my favorites, as we talked about, the R&B and blues Christmas stuff is the, you know, to me is the best. And we created, I think, this whole genre for the show with the youngsters, Christmas in Jail. And just last week, we mentioned, you know, that there probably is another Christmas in Jail. Well, there is. And it's from one of the most mercurial blues artists in American history that is completely underknown and underappreciated, but was unbelievably influential. Leroy Carr, who died at 30, but had it basically was the black blues Bobby Darin. It was kind of knew he was going to be on earth a short time, and left a very big canon. And this is his own Christmas in Jail, and it's off of a 78, so it's got that little scratchiness to it, but Leroy Carr.
The blues come falling, they fall like drops of rain. The blues come falling, they fall like drums of rain. I got to spend my Christmas locked up in jail again. Jail on Christmas Day again, ain't that a pain? Oh baby, 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 pain. Oh Santa, 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 come here to me in jail. Oh Santa, 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 come here to me in jail. Christmas present, someone to go my bed. In jail on Christmas Day again, ain't that a pain? Oh baby, 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 ain't that a pain? This food here, Santa, it ain't fit to eat. It ain't fit to eat. Won't you come and bring me a plate of turkey meat? In jail on Christmas Day again, ain't that a pain? Oh baby, 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 ain't that a pain? Have got me, they've got the best of me. The jailhouse blues have got me, they've got the best of me. My baby doesn't love me, I've got no Christmas tree. Jail on Christmas Day again, ain't that a pain? Oh baby, 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 ain't that a pain?
Well, a new version for everybody of Christmas in Jail, Leroy Carr.
Where'd you unearth that gem? That was wonderful.
That? Isn't that great? Unbelievable. He, you know, he's a huge influence through the, you know, the 40s, the 50s, the blues shouters, you know, that you know, pick up the beat. But, you know, from the Robert Johnson, you know, style. But he's a real obscurity, Leroy Carr. Your turn.
All right, good stuff. Here's another one from 2018. Now, this is high praise, but I'm pretty sure I mean it. Maybe the best title for a holiday record I've ever heard. J.D. McPherson had one this year called Socks. I just thought that was great. And this is, we had Texas, so now we'll represent for Oklahoma with J.D. McPherson. This one is called Hey Skinny Santa.
Chicago, the secret to the pizza there is in the dough. Italian beef with ordinary, hot and sweet. Papa Bowl and sausage on Maxwell Street. Windy City Papa corn with caramel and cheese. Adds a couple notches to his belt with ease. We gotta get some gumbo in NOLA. Santa needs a pot of crop to shed to fade. And a beef jambalaya, Santa don't stop. A fried oyster poor boy and a nice lagniappe. Up with beignets and a box of pralines. We're getting red bridges busting at the seams.
It's really fun. Really fun. It's got the kind of that Louis Prima feel.
Absolutely. Yeah. Is it a Louis Jordan song, or is it just also in that genre? I've got to do a little bit further research required. I should know these things before playing them on the show. But I just thought it would fit in with what we were playing, and the record is supposed to be great. I haven't heard the whole thing. I've just heard a couple tunes off it, but it's also on my wish list for this year, and hopefully get a chance to check it out.
I like it, and McPherson from Oklahoma. I love it. I looked him up while we were listening, and in fact, he grew up near the Arkansas border. I got to check with Ron Moquette. It's got to be fairly close to a town called Tallahena, and it's got to be close to where Moquette grew up, because he grew up right on the border as well. I'm gonna see if Moquette. He's a contemporary too. He's in his 40s. Pretty funny.
Yeah, the age sounds right.
Yeah,
Mokedder,
absolutely.
A rock and roll guy?
Yeah, Mokedder, yeah. He's, I would, absolutely. Absolutely. He's, I bet you, I'm going to hear from him now. I guarantee it. Because he'll,
I didn't mean to sound incredulous about that, by the way. I just was curious.
He might be sitting in the pickup listening, so we'll know right away. We'll round this out, and I know you had another one, and I also had another one that I haven't even shared with you that is going to blow you away. I'll do that off air, but then we'll hear it tomorrow when Casey and I talk. But I've got something that I just fell in love with, and I think I might have heard this on a previous search. A year or two ago, and I sort of came back to it, and as I described to you, given the singer songwriters involved, it's a bit of Belle and Sebastian, Isabel Campbell meets Queens of the Stone Age, Mark Langan, and the two of them have got just the loveliest song in the spirit of the time of year. It sort of transcends Christmas, called Time of the Season. Listen to this.
Joker in the back is always
out. There you go. Isabel Campbell and Mark Lanigan. And that's from an album that they did called Hawks. It's about 8 or 9 years old. Pete, as always, a lot of fun. People can hear our entire 3-hour Christmas special, Christmas Eve, and then replayed Christmas morning.
Excellent, Steve. Thank you for the opportunity to come on and spin some holiday tunes and just the opportunity all year round to get to interact with the At the Races listeners. I just feel very, very pleased and grateful for the opportunities you've afforded me to get the voice and some ideas out there. And thank you, and have a great rest of the holiday season. And when is there a show? I imagine, is there a show on the 26th?
There will not be. We're on vacation always. That last week, that is sacrosanct. I can't do it.
I don't blame you. The only thing that gave me pause was the opening day Santa Anita thing, but much smarter to take care of yourself and come back strong in 2019, and I look forward to chatting with you again then.
Well, for you and the family and the extended family, Pete, Merry, Merry Christmas. It's Christmas all year long when your name is for Natale. And I hope it's a great one, and we'll talk after the first.
I'll do it. I'll send you a link when Perrin and I recorded about a 20-minute segment for my dad's old show. I'll make sure that a link gets out there to that. I let her pick the music, which was fun. She made some great choices. So some more ways to hear me spinning Christmas tunes if you're interested.
I love it. Absolutely. And then we'll put it up. I'm putting these spore cuts up online. And McPherson and the old 97s are both on Twitter, so you'll be able to find them easily. Pete, thanks so much for everything all year. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Cheers, my friend.
Pete Fornatale. Let's take a break. Top of the hour here. Andy Serling joins us next. Later, Dave Siegel and Jason Wilson, Seth Merrow, and more At the Races.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 3-8-4-6-4-3.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.